Would have been some changing. Got a new pulpit up here. Ain't this pretty? Amen. It's nice. Praise the Lord. Smell a little bit like stain, but it's the. Yeah, amen. Amen. Well, it's so good to be here, and I tell you, I'm like Brother Jacob. I think it's good. We kind of change things up. I'm glad that we're kind of close, and that we can get together like this, fellowship one another, and I'm like him. I like to be preached to. I love to hear the Word of God. Amen. I mean, that's our food. I mean, that's where we get our help, our strength, our direction from. Amen. And so thank God for His Word. And I think I was thinking about this here the other day. You hear a lot about people memorizing scriptures. You know, especially children, you know, they teach them children scriptures and help them to memorize scriptures. But, you know, you don't hear that very, very much anymore. There's not a lot of folks. I remember, back when I first got saved, I remember kids standing up and quoting whole chapters and stuff, you know. I'm sure there's probably still some out there that do it, but I just don't hear it very much. I don't see it very much. But I think we've kind of got away from the Word of God today. And it's sad, and it's showing up. Amen. It's showing up. Well, I'm going to do something never done before. I don't guess I've ever done it before. If I have, I don't remember. But I'm going to try to mind the Lord, because this is what the Lord had told me to do to begin with. And then he placed it on my heart to go ahead and do it this morning. And so what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to preach the same message I preached this morning. And I've never done that before. Amen. As far as I know, I've never done that before. But the Lord had this on my heart even before this morning, that this would be what we was going to do. God had put this message on my heart for tonight. And then I was praying about Sunday morning. I didn't have any direction. And the Lord just kept burdening my heart. And I was going to finish my thoughts up this evening. And the Lord just wouldn't let me get away from preaching this morning. And I told Sharon, I said, I just got to stay with it until I finish up, because I got to be ready in the morning. And so we kind of burned the midnight oil last night. But the Lord he showed us some things out of His Word here, and I pray they'll be a blessing and help to us tonight. Mark chapter number 4, if you would, and verse number 35. Mark chapter 4, and verse number 35. And so I figured the only reason maybe the Lord wanted me to do it twice is either y'all here at Unity need it real bad, or my folks didn't get it the first time. Huh? All right. So, Mark chapter number 4, verse number 35. The Bible says, "And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now here in this passage of scripture, the Lord Jesus had just got through spending the day. He was sitting in the ship and people were all gathered on the shore and he was preaching and teaching to the multitudes. And as it began to get dark, well, the Lord said, let us pass over to the other side. And so after they sent the people away, they set sail, and as they were crossing over the sea, they encountered a great storm. Now, this storm was so great and the waves were so high that the ship was filled with water and it was just about to sink. They thought they were going down. Now, while all this was going on, the Lord Jesus was asleep. The Bible said he was asleep on a pillar. And he was in the hinder, or the back part of the ship. And so they run to him and they said, carest thou not that we perish? Lord, we're fixing to drown. He said, Lord, don't you care what's going on here? And so the Lord got up, he arose, he rebuked the wind. He said unto the sea, peace be still. The wind ceased, and the Bible says, there was a great calm. Then Jesus asked his disciples two questions. He said, why are ye so fearful? Why are you so fearful? And then he asked them, how is it that you have no faith? Now, with the Lord's help, I want to deal with those two questions on fear and faith. But before I do that, by way of introduction, I want to say something about this storm. The Lord Jesus had said, let us pass over to the other side. This storm came in the path of obedience. You see, between here and the other side, if you follow Jesus and do what Jesus says, you're going to encounter some great storms. Now, I've heard people say, well, now, if you're saved and you live for God, serve God, and you stay in the will of God, well, man, you're going to have smooth sailing. But I'm here to tell you that's not always true. Things don't always work out that way. The disciples were doing the Lord's will. You could be saved. You could have the Lord with you. You could be in the center of God's perfect will and still encounter a great storm in your life. Because Jesus is the one that said, let us pass over to the other side. The disciples were simply doing what Jesus said. Amen. I tell you, that'll get you in trouble sometimes. Just doing what Jesus says. Amen. Just doing what he says many times will get you in trouble. So let me encourage you. Just because you're going through a storm today, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have done something wrong. Your storm may be the results of you doing everything right. I found out that sometimes storms of obedience are greater than ordinary storms. I think about those Hebrew boys. You know, the king told them, he said, now, I'm going to play some music and I want y'all to get down. And they said, we're not going to boogie and we're not going to bow. He said, all right, I'm going to burn you. Amen. But I tell you what, guess what? They come out on the other side. Amen. Daniel, he just wanted to maintain his prayer life and they threw him in the lion's den. But you know what? He come out on the other side. Amen. Hallelujah. If the Lord wants you to make it, you're going to make it. Amen. There just ain't no way around it. If it's God's will for you to make it, then you're going to make it. Everything's going to be all right. And so I want to deal with these two questions. The first one I want to deal with is this matter of fear. Why are you so fearful? Why is your life so filled with fear? That's what he asked those disciples. Now, there are two kinds of fear. First of all, there is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a good fear. It's a godly fear. It's a reverential fear. It's a showing of honor and respect unto the Lord for who He is. Amen. We ought to have that kind of fear. We're exhorted over and over again in the Word of God to fear the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 17, "Let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." God wants us to fear Him. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The Bible says the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. If you'll fear God, God said, "I'm going to make you live longer." How about that? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. But what's happened today is we've departed from this kind of fear. We've departed from the fear of the Lord. We're living in a day when there's no fear of God before our eyes. Amen? You say, "Well, Brother Johnny, how do you know that?" Because the Bible says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. If people truly feared God today, they'd be turning from their sins and repenting and getting right with God instead of going further and further away from Him. Which tells me people are not fearing the Lord today. But then there's another kind of fear, and that is the fear that we see here. It is the spirit of fear. That spirit is an evil fear. It's a satanic fear. It's a fear that'll cause you to be afraid. It's a fear that will cause you to doubt God's ability, to doubt God's power, to doubt God's word. Fear. They had forgot the Word of God that they were going to the other side. Fear had overcome them. Now this spirit of fear doesn't come from the Lord. You say, "Well, how do you know that?" Well, listen to what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Amen. That's what God gives you. God don't put the spirit of fear upon you. Oh no. If the spirit of fear, if it doesn't come from God, where does it come from? It comes from the devil. It is satanic. It's a work of Satan. This particular storm didn't come from God. But rather, it was a work of Satan. It was an attack upon the Lord and upon His disciples. You say, "Well, I didn't know the devil could send a storm." We'll talk with Job. Amen. I mean, boy, you talking about a storm, he had one. The devil sent a wind and knocked the corners out of the house, and it fell down, killed all of his children. This storm was of the devil. We know that this storm was an attack of Satan for two reasons. Number one, the results of it. It brought the spirit of fear upon the disciples. Now, if this had been from God and this had been a test of their faith, what would have happened is it would have built up their faith instead of tearing it down. When God sends testing, it's not to destroy us. It's not to defeat us. It's not to hurt us, but it's to build us up and strengthen us and draw us closer to Him. This thing didn't come from the Lord. But not only the results, but also the rebuke. Jesus arose and He rebuked the wind. In all three of the Gospels where this is mentioned, Jesus rebuked the storm. In every place you read about this account, He rebuked it. He rebuked the storm, which tells me that it wasn't of God. I mean, He had been rebuking Himself. Amen? This wasn't from the Lord. Now, I want to make an application here. And I want you to understand where I'm coming from, because this is what's going on today. This coronavirus that we're experiencing today, this storm of this virus, did not come from God. The Lord told me this. God did not send it. You say, how do you know? Because of what it produced. Jesus said, I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. He said, but Satan, He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I want to tell you, this virus has stolen the livelihood of multitudes of people. It has killed and taken people's lives. And it sent destruction all across this country and even the world. And on top of that, it's brought a spirit of fear upon this world and upon the people of God. Are you listening? Now, the world is in bondage to fear. We understand why. Because they don't have Jesus. But the Lord asked His disciples this question. He said, why are you so fearful? We can understand why the world is fearful. They don't have Jesus. But we got Jesus. Why should we be fearful? If anybody ought to trust God and believe God, it ought to be His people. It ought to be His children. It ought to be His disciples. Yet many in the church today have been overcome by the spirit of fear. They're afraid. They're afraid that if they don't do everything the government tells them to do, and they fulfill all the mandates from one day to another, the do's and the don'ts, if I don't do everything just right, just like they tell me to do, well, man, they're liable to fine me. Are they liable to take me to jail? They're liable to arrest me. I want to tell you, God's people have been arrested before. Amen. People are afraid. They're going to catch the virus. They're scared, you know. I'm talking about they're paranoid. Afraid they're going to catch this virus. Let me tell you something that they're not telling you. Most people that get the virus get over it. Most people get over it. It's a very small number that die in comparison to the ones that get it. Well, they say they've been 6 million people that's had this virus so far. 180,000 have died. Well, that's a small number compared to the ones that got the virus. I want to tell you what. Look up Google how many people are going to die this year of cancer. That's right. Or heart disease. Look up how many is going to die from that. And you'll find that this virus, they're really blowing it up. They're making it political. And they're making it bigger than it is. Not that it's not a virus. It's a real virus and people get sick. And I've known people that's been sick with a virus. It's a real virus. And there's been people died because of it. I'm not belittling that. I'm just saying in comparison, There's not that many people that die from it. But then there are people who are afraid that they're going to die from this virus. I mean, they're paranoid that, boy, if I get this virus, I'm going to die. I'm not going to make it. Well, the truth is, eventually we're all going to die. Is that not right?
Yep.
Isn't it appointed unto men once to die? Ain't we all going to die sometime? Huh?
Yep.
I mean, sometime or another, my friend, we're going to die physically. We're going to die. My thing is when did it become a bad thing for the saints of God to die? Did I not read in the Bible somewhere where precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of His saints? Didn't I read somewhere where it said to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord? Didn't I read somewhere where it said to live as Christ and to die as gain? Did they shut down heaven? Huh? Did they do away with heaven? Did they tear it out of the Bible or something? Is there not any streets of gold or any gates of pearl? Is there not any mansions? Is it all just a fib and a fairy tale? Why should God's people be afraid of death? I thought Jesus took the sting out of it. There are two reasons why I think church people would be fearing death. And that is, number one, is they're just not right with the Lord. When people are right with God and there's nothing in their life between them and God, they're looking forward to the day when they can see Jesus. Now, nobody wants to die. We all want to live just as long as we can live. I mean, that's just our makeup. That's just natural, amen? I'm not wanting to die right now. I'd like to live several more years. But the truth is He can get me when He wants me. Amen. He can get me when He wants me. But a lot of folks are afraid to die because they're just not right with the Lord. They know that they're going to be ashamed when they stand before Him because they got things in their life that ought not be there. And then another reason why I would think that church members are not to ready to die or are afraid of death is because they're just simply not ready. They're not saved. And so therefore, they don't know where they'll spend eternity when they die. And so they're living in fear of death. They're afraid, you know, that if I die, I might not make it. I might not get there. Do you know the Bible says in Revelation 21, verse number 8, the fearful and the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. The fearful and the unbelieving. Notice how them two things are put together? Just like our text. Huh? The fearful and no faith. The fearful and the unbelieving. Now, it's not talking about just having a moment of fear or a moment of terror coming upon you, but it's talking about people who live in fear and live in unbelief. I mean, before I got saved, I mean, I lived in fear of death. Y'all have heard me say this over and over again. I'd pray at night, Lord, if I'm not saved, save me now. Because I didn't know where I'd go if I died, and I just wanted to kind of make sure, you know, everything, you know, I'd just check it off. Amen. Lord, if something happens tonight, I won't be ready. Amen. And so I lived in fear of death. I did. The spirit of fear that we're experiencing today is the work of Satan. And according to the Bible, when the devil shows up, we are to resist him. And we are not to give him place in our life. Is that not right? Amen. We're not to give the devil any room in our life. And so when this fear that's going around today, listen, we need to reject it. We need to resist it. We don't need to let it rest in our lives, in our bosoms, amen? We need, my friend, to turn away from it, to resist it. God is not pleased when we allow the spirit of fear to control our lives. But I tell you what does please Him, and that is when we put our faith and trust in Him. Now, after Jesus confronts them about their fear, He then turns around and questions them about their faith. How is it that you have no faith? In other words, what happened to your faith? Now, the disciples were still believers. They still believed that Jesus was the Christ, that He was the Son of the living God, but they had no faith that God could take care of them through this storm. No faith. The spirit of fear had overcome their faith in God to deliver them from this particular situation. That's the problem. They didn't think that God was going to be able to save them from this. Wasn't it they just stopped believing in God altogether, but they didn't believe God was going to be able to save them from this. There are a lot of church members today who are defeated by the fear of this coronavirus. They have no faith that God will take care of them. No faith. They're putting their trust in the government. What the government says. What the scientists say. What the CDC says. What the governor says. They're putting their trust in face mask, rubber gloves, plexiglass. Everywhere you go, you're talking to somebody through plexiglass. Hand sanitizer and social distancing. People are scared to death of this virus. And they're going to all of these extremes. Now, let me say something. I didn't say this morning, but I wanted to say it because I want to be clear. I'm not saying that you should never wear a face mask. Are you listening? I'm not dealing with face masks. I'm not saying it's wrong or you have no faith because you wear a face mask. If you're required on your job to wear a face mask, you should wear one. If they tell you you can't come in this store without a face mask, well, you either put it on or don't go in the store. So I'm not fussing at people that has to wear a face mask. What I'm dealing with is people that are overcome with fear and they're scared to death they're going to catch something that they have to stay covered up all the time. And if they had access to hazmat suits, they'd go get them one. I'm going to tell you, this virus is airborne. And these little old masks, and people got them hanging down here, you know, and hanging under their chin, and all around the edges. Listen, they're not going to save you. They're not going to keep you from getting anything. They've done proved these face masks that's a political thing. But if you're required to wear it, and there's a need for you to wear it, I'm not fussing anybody. I'm not condemning anybody. But I'm saying that God's people need to look to Jesus for their salvation and their safety from this virus. What it boils down to is, who are you going to put your trust in? Are you going to trust God to take care of you through this storm? Or are you going to be overcome by fear? Who are you going to trust? Now, either God is God or He's not. I believe that our God is able to take care of His children in every situation. I said this morning, if God can bring me through an EF5, I believe He can see me through a COVID-19. Now listen, God liable to let me get the virus and I liable to die next week. I don't know. But if I do, I mean, so be it. Amen. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to sit around and wring my hands, and I'm not going to stay in my house, and I'm not going to be afraid to get near anybody. Huh? I'm not going to live my life like that. God doesn't want His people under bondage to this thing. Now, we understand why the world is doing it. The world has no hope, and the world, my friend, is deceived. They're in darkness. We know why they're doing it, but why is it that ye have no faith? Why are ye so fearful? You see, God's people are supposed to be people of faith. Are we not? I mean, all through the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. By faith. By faith, Abraham. Amen. By faith, Noah. By faith, Enoch. Amen. Everything that was by faith. The Bible says, now the just shall live by faith. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't go by what we see. We go by what He says. Amen. We walk by faith, not by sight. For by faith you stand. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now listen to this verse. Well, this puts some wind in your sail. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 4. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It is our faith that gives us victory to overcome our fears. If we're going to live for God, walk for God, please God, stand for God, have power with God, and overcome the world, then we're going to have to put our faith and trust in Him through every circumstance of life. I love this verse. Mark 11:22, Jesus said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I believe in an almighty God. I believe a God, my friend, that can open blinded eyes, that can heal the sick, amen, that can raise the dead. I believe in a God, my friend, who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power which worketh in us. I believe our God is still God. I believe He's still able. I believe He's still on the throne tonight. I believe, my friend, that He can take us through the storms of life. Look at verse 41 of Mark chapter 4. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? They said, whew, what kind of man is this? Well, man, he is able to calm the sea. He's able to stop the storm. They said, this man is so great, he can take us through the storm. They said, hallelujah. He can get us to the other side. Notice what the Bible says in Mark 5, verse number 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Guess what? They got there. They made it across. I want to tell you what. You put your trust in the Lord and He'll get you across. Amen. We don't need to be living in fear today. We need to be living in faith. We need to be trusting God. And if God sees fit to to allow us to go through a storm? If God sees fit to let us lose our life in the storm, it'll be okay. It'll be all right. John the Baptist, he just did what the Lord told him to do. He preached the word. He got over there running a rabbit, talking about adultery. Got his head cut off. But Jesus said they wasn't a better man born among women than John the Baptist. Amen. It'll be all right if you don't make it. If they crucify you, if they behead you, they put you in jail, it'll be all right. You got somebody with you. They're going to see you through. He's going to see you through. Amen. He'll see you through. There's something else I want you to notice, and I'm getting through here. Notice verse number 36. Notice the last part of that verse. And there were also with him other little ships. They were some little ships that was following the big ship. I want to tell you something, folks. You've got some people that are watching you. Mom and Dad, you got some children, some little ships that are watching you. And they're looking, seeing how you're going to handle the storm. Amen. And so I'm telling you, it's important that we be an example of faith. Seems like I read that somewhere. That we're to be an example in faith. Amen. Ain't we supposed to demonstrate our faith before one another? Let other people see our faith? Didn't James say, show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works? Your children, those around you, those little ships, they need to see something real in your life. One other verse, I'm through. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Turn over there. You ought to memorize this verse. Proverbs 29, verse 25. It's a little small verse. You can memorize it. Proverbs 29, 25. Now, at least you can underline it. Maybe it'll come up on it again. Proverbs 29:25. Look at what the Bible says. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You want to be safe? Put your trust in Him. Put your trust in the Lord. Like I said, I'm not fussing anybody that wears masks and has to wear masks on their job and they feel, you know, comfortable doing that. And I'm not fussing anybody about that. I'm just saying we don't need to live in fear as God's people. We need to live by faith. You ought not be afraid to come to the house of God. If you can go to Walmart, if you can go to your job and you can do other things, you ought to be able to come to the house of God. I don't think we ought to take exception. Amen. And so I pray that's been a help to you tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the loving and precious name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for helping us, Lord, with the message tonight. I pray, God, that you'll bless the folks here at Unity. God, that you would encourage them and strengthen their faith during these days. Lord, help us not to be overcome, Lord, with the spirit of fear. But God, help us to build up ourselves on our most holy faith. Lord, I pray you'll strengthen the faith of your people. Help us to be people of the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Help us to abide in the Word, God, that our faith might be strengthened. Lord, I pray your blessings now upon this service. And Lord, I pray that you'll have your will and way in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.